And this gives us a continuation of the history of the man who was called Jacob. We have followed Jacob through thus far from the house of disorder. That was in chapter 27. Then he arrived at the place called Bethel, the house of God. There he learned that was the house of order. Now the things that were made known to him at Bethel that night when he had the vision from God, these things will now have to be learned by experience. So when you come to chapter 29, you find Jacob now in the house of discipline. There is an expression used in verse 13 of chapter 29 concerning his uncle, and it says that it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob his sister's son that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And it's some of the things that happened during the 20 years he was in that house that we shall examine today. But before we read the verses and examine the truths, let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee again in humble acknowledgement. Thou art the God of our salvation. And as we come to Thy Word, we beseech of Thee that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou shalt enlighten us with regards to these spiritual truths. And may the Lord's name be glorified through this broadcast. May Thy people be edified. And we ask Thee, O God, if some should listen to this broadcast who don't know the Savior, that this may be the day when they will turn in true heart repentance and exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it for His own name's sake. Amen. Now, if you will take time at home to read through the 29th chapter of the book of Genesis, you will learn here that Jacob, by experience, had to learn some very important lessons. I have indicated it is here that he enters the house of discipline. And for 20 years now, he's going to be taught by experience some very, very important lessons in life. The first lesson he will be taught will be a lesson dealing with service. And then he must learn his lesson on order. And then there's a final lesson, perhaps. It's the lesson on guidance. Now, if you will take time to meditate on these three things, perhaps you will arrive at the conclusion that they also are important lessons in your life. Isn't it true we must all learn a lesson on service? And we must all learn a lesson on order? And certainly we require to learn our lesson on divine guidance. Let us look first of all then at the service of Jacob. In the opening verse of the chapter, we learn something concerning the way he travelled. Verse 1 says, "Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east." Isn't it most significant that we're told nothing at all about any incidents on the way? That is, after he left Bethel. We saw at the end of chapter 28 the experience he had that night at Bethel. That was the night when he was brought to grips, as it were, with the things of God. Spiritual things really meant something to him that night when God broke into his life. I would like to ask every listener today, have you had that Bethel experience? Was there a time in your life when you were brought face to face with the reality of God, face to face with the reality of spiritual things, when you had to come to terms, as it were, with God? Now, after that, he rose up and he walked, as it were, on thin air. everything was beautiful. After his experience at Bethel, a new hope had dawned in his soul. The revelation of God, with the assurance of God's presence and the promise of God's blessing, had brought light and cheer to his heart. And from there on, he simply went on his way rejoicing until he came to his destination and he arrived in the part of the country where his relatives were, called here the people of the East. But now he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. Now while he was there, something happened. If you read the verses, you'll discover there were people there watering the sheep. And then there came Rachel. Verse 9 says, and while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. Now Jacob is attracted to Rachel. Remember, from the natural point of view, Rachel was his cousin. Rachel's father and Jacob's mother were brother and sister. Then in verse 12, and Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. It came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. That's the house that I have referred to as becoming the house of discipline. But notice the welcome he received. When Jacob arrived, he immediately showed a concern for the welfare of his friends. Then he displayed a very, very courteous spirit in the presence of Rachel. Then Uncle Laban demonstrated a rather impulsive and hypocritical affection toward Jacob. That will be noted as we continue the history of this man. So he brought him into his house. Now I want you to notice verses 14 and 15. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. Now, at that point, I want you to recall that when he left home, his mother said, go away for a few days to your uncle Laban. Just a few days. Then I will send for you, and you'll return. So according to his mother's idea, he would only be staying with Uncle Laban for a few days. No doubt, Jacob made that known to his uncle when he arrived. However, at the end of verse 14, we discover he's been there for a month. Then in verse 15, Uncle Laban breaks in again into the history. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Now, notice this word, serve. Shouldest thou therefore serve me? Now, I want you to take note of this. It was not Jacob who raised the idea of serving. It was Uncle Laban who introduced the thought of service. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. That's verse 18. So Jacob here is entering into a kind of bargain with his uncle. Here are the wages he bargained for. Now, this is the time when the matter of service is really introduced to Jacob. Now, let us remind our heart that Jacob was a man who had sought the position of dignity, the position of honor. That is, he wanted the firstborn's portion. He wanted the firstborn's blessing. He placed a value upon these things. He wanted the birthright. And with the birthright, there came that position of dignity and honor. And as such, others would serve him. No doubt it was he was instructed by his mother to the effect that the elder would serve the younger. So he being the younger, he expected people to serve him. Since he had obtained the birthright, he expected others to serve him. And since he had received the blessing, but now he is taught by experience that he must serve others. Sometimes a very hard lesson to learn, but it's a good lesson to learn. You know, this matter of service, if you care to follow it through the Word of God, is most interesting. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he had a great number of people who followed him, who were called his disciples, that is, his followers. Out of all the people that followed him, he chose 12. These 12 were called apostles. But then, when they were in the upper room on the last night before his crucifixion, and they all sat around the table for that Last Supper, there was something that they were not prepared to do. Lying over perhaps in a corner of the room was a vessel with water, and a basin, and a towel. Now these things were provided there for the benefit of those who would sit around the table, perfectly true, but these things were to be used by the servant. Now, here was a man who was the Lord Jesus Christ, their leader, their teacher, their master. Around him he had 12 men. Not one of them was prepared to bind the towel around himself and take the servant's place to wash the feet of the others. Until at one point during the supper, the Lord himself rose from the table, laid aside his outer garment, bound the towel around his waist, took the vessel with the water and the basin, took the servant's place, and washed the feet of his apostles. He taught them a lesson in service, and he reminded them on that occasion that what he had done for them, they were expected to do for one another, that is, take the servant's place. He also taught them, while he was here with them, that the one who would be the greatest among them would be the one that served. Now that was a hard lesson for them to learn. They had expected to be associated with him in the kingdom. They had thought he was going to set up the kingdom. And at least two of them, who were his apostles, had made request that they might be granted the chief seats, one on his right hand and the other on his left. They wanted the place of honor, the place of dignity. The Lord taught them that night in the upper room that they would have to serve. So this matter of service was taught to the apostles by the Lord. When you come over to the writings of the Apostle Paul, when he was writing his epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, he tells us that these Christians turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Now the start then of the Christian life was the point of turning to God. The conclusion of the Christian life will be when the Lord comes and takes us to the glory. But now lying in between the start and the finish, there is the life to be lived, and that life is to be lived as a life of service, to serve the living and the true God. Jacob then had to learn his first lesson, that in life we've got to serve others. Now he makes the bargain then with Uncle Laban. Verse 18 says, "And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. So for 7 years you find him here serving. And he served well, as we shall learn later on. He was a good servant. He learned his lesson and was able to serve in a very acceptable manner. But now the end of the 7 years had come. Remember, the bargain had been made. And in verse 21, Jacob said unto Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. It came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. It came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" Now consider for a short time the subtlety of Laban. With Laban there was deception. Now we should remember that Laban was the brother of Jacob's mother, that is Rebekah. Now you remember when we were dealing with Jacob in the house of disorder, we saw how that Jacob was marked by deception. And it was his mother who instilled into him the idea of deceiving his father. Now, the man who had deceived his own father is now being deceived by his uncle. See, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you'll find in the history of Jacob that he is deceived more than once. Now, Jacob was taught the methods of deception by his mother. But now he's being paid back in what we might call the family coin. No doubt his mother learned these ideas from her own father or her own brother. She learned it in her own family. She passed it on to her son. Now her son is being paid back, as I have said, in that family coin. Now if there is deception in Laban, there's disappointment with Jacob. After serving 7 years to obtain Rachel, he finds himself in the embrace of Leah. And in his disappointment, he turns with anger on Uncle Laban and demands an explanation. Well, suppose someone had demanded an explanation from him when he deceived his father and defrauded his brother. I wonder what explanation he could have given. Now he demands an explanation from Uncle Laban. Now it's this explanation from Uncle Laban that teaches him another lesson. He is disciplined now with its lesson. In giving the explanation, Laban reminds Jacob that there is a certain law to be observed, or if you like, there is an order of the house. And that order must be carried out. It is what we might call the law of the firstborn. Now, notice what his uncle said to him, verse 26. And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." And so, therefore, Jacob now has got to consider the position of the firstborn. "But," said his uncle, "fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So Jacob, up to that point, for 14 years now, he's learned that he must serve. But he's got to learn this second lesson dealing with order. It's the order of the house. The rights of the firstborn must be maintained. Now remember this. In chapter 27, Jacob ignored this law. But in chapter 28, when Jacob was at Bethel, he was shown that God was a God of order. Now by bitter experience, he is taught that he must submit to law and order and respect the rights of others. Let me press this principle home upon every one of my listeners today. When you come to the New Testament, it is made perfectly clear there is a certain law and order in the church, as laid down in the church epistles. The Corinthians were told to let everything be done decently and in order. When you come to Paul's letter to Timothy, he tells them there that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. There is a certain behavior that becometh the house. Unfortunately, at the present time, people are acting like Jacob. They think they have a right to do just whatever they please, and the law of the house is being pushed aside. May I suggest to every listener today, the time has come when we ought to get back to the standards of the Word of God and be willing to submit to the law and order of the house. Let us learn our lesson on order. Jacob came out of a house of disorder. He was given a vision at Bethel of the order of God's house. Now he's got to learn by experience in the house of discipline that it's better to submit to the law of the house than to override that law and land yourself in difficulty, for that is exactly what Jacob was doing. Now the final portion of this chapter deals with the sons of Jacob. In these closing verses, from verse 31 to the end of the chapter, you'll find the first 4 sons are born into Jacob's family, and they are born of Leah. The names given to the sons may prove to be interesting. The first one is called Reuben, second one Simeon, the third one Levi, and the fourth one Judah. You know, the names of these sons have a meaning. Reuben means see a son, Simeon means hearing, Levi means joined, Judah means praise. The order of those 4 names suggests that the purposes of God commence with the firstborn son. Then faith cometh by hearing, and by this means we are joined to Christ, and then all the praise is given to God. See, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower.